that story in Luke 15 and 4 tonight, and I will not be long, but I want us to have a time of prayer and rededication. I would like to admit tonight that I have been a coin. I've been a coin. What do I mean by that? In this story, there are three lost things. There is a sheep, there's a son, and there's a coin. The difference between the sheep and the son and the coin is that the coin was lost in the house. You know, I say very often that I have never known one day without the church, and I have not, and I'm thankful for that. But I will admit that there have been times in my younger years when I was not everything that I needed to be. And there were services I sat in and did not receive anything because I didn't want to receive it. But oh, I'm so thankful that when I was a senior in high school, after making a commitment to be what God called me to be and then kind of drifting back from it, I remember a night, a service, when the minister was preaching the word of God. Jesus came into the house that night, and he lit a candle, and he began to sweep the house. And Brother Kelly, I was sitting about where you're sitting, in that building over there in Mesquite. We were in the new building by that time, shaped very similar to this, and so I was sitting about right there, and I remember when he found me. And before I knew it, I was down here on my knees, weeping in the carpet, surrendering myself again. Amen. So tonight I'm searching for sheep. I'm searching for coins. And I'm searching for sons tonight. Amen. I feel God is in the house, and there's been a candle lit. And he's sweeping. He's searching. Luke 15 and 4 says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" Verse 7, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Verse 8, "Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it? Likewise, I say unto you that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Verse 11, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself," he came to his mind, his right mind, "he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants," he just ignored the son, "and he said, 'Bring forth the best robe,'" not just a robe, but the best robe, "and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And so tonight, just for a few moments, I want to sweep the house with this message called Found. Just Found. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, you know who's in here. Lord, they're saints of the living God, and I love them, and they're faithful, and there are people here that have served you for many years, but maybe they have drifted back from a commitment, or they have moved away from the faithfulness. There's others, Lord, that are not where they should be, that they've come into the house tonight for different reasons, but you're here for them. Your mercy, your love, your desire is for them. You don't want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. Lord, I pray that this message of love would fall on good ground tonight, that we would receive it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Why don't you put your Bibles down and put your hands together and let's magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God is good. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, you may be seated. What a beautiful story of God and His people. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What was the purpose in it? It was so that no one would perish. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. That is not His desire. Hell is not created for mankind, but hell was created for the devil and his angels. It was created as a place of punishment for them. But as we always say, misery loves company, and so the enemy of our soul wanted to thwart the plan of God, and he wanted to steal, kill, and destroy those things that God loves so much. And so temptation came into the world, and ultimately sin came into the world. The separation between us and our living God, our living Savior, was so palpable in the Old Testament that there was an enmity between us and God that we could not go freely into His presence. But after the law was instituted, only one priest, one high priest, once a year could go into the presence of the holiest of holies. And there the Shekinah glory of the Holy One would rest over the mercy seat, and He would commune with His people there. But there was no open vision, and there was no open access to the things of God. But He looked down and He saw that separation, and there was nothing that could keep Him from coming to earth and to restore the things that were broken in paradise. He wanted to restore them, and He knew that the only thing that could restore the relationship between holy and unholy was a holy sacrifice that was willing to give Himself without sin and without guile and without any mistakes, that He would go to a cross and He would die on that cross. He would shed His blood, and ultimately 3 days later He would rise again, and then He would fill us with His presence. And because of His sacrifice, because of His powerful anointed sacrifice, now we have access to redemption. And so He would not sit still and watch us be lost. He would not sit still and watch us be removed from His presence. But He loved us so much that we had to be bought with a price, that we had to be ministered to by His blood, that our skin, our sins that were as scarlet could be white as snow, that we could come to repentance, and we could go into the waters of baptism, and we could go down in the name of Jesus, and all of our sins could be washed away in just a moment. The Bible calls it remission of sins, that it would be removed. That I'm so glad that our sins are not just covered tonight, but they are washed away. Amen. That they are washed, that they are removed in the waters of baptism. And everywhere in Scripture where someone was baptized unto salvation, they were all baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sins. It is the authority, it is the power, all power in heaven and earth was given unto Him. And so I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that He didn't just leave us clean, that He didn't just leave us empty, but He filled us with the very Spirit that of him, of himself, of the essence of God. He filled us. We call it the Holy Ghost. We receive the power of God within us, just like they did on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost moved into that room and it swept through there like a mighty rushing wind, and there set upon them cloven tongues like as a fire, and they were all filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. But sadly, that powerful sacrifice, that powerful gift, that access of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, sadly, some people move away from it. There are times of temptation. There are times of struggle in our lives. But you know what? God is not satisfied then either. He comes looking. He comes searching. And here Jesus in his teaching, he reminds the people of Israel. He's trying to tell these people that he's teaching, hey, I want you to know that what man of you, that if you had 100 sheep and one was missing, and you went at the end of the night and you began to count 1, 2, 3, 4, and you got to 99, and you went back around, and maybe you counted several times, and maybe you called your friend over and said, hey, would you count for me? I just can't seem to get to 100 if you can find that one. And then you realize there is one missing. Who would not lock those up and make sure they're safe and then go back out into the night and find one? He likened himself unto a shepherd, and he likened us to a sheep. The sheep was distracted. It didn't run away on its own. It was not being willful. It was just probably distracted. We get distracted sometimes, right? We allow life to distract us. We allow sickness to distract us. We allow financial struggles to distract us. And we move away from the things that we know are right. We move away from our commitments, and we move away from our faithfulness. And before long, we're out far enough and we don't even know how we got there. We're not even sure how we got away from the flock. We're not even sure how we got too far away from the shepherd, where we could not hear his voice, where we could not see him, where we could not perceive him. But it was just a little distraction. You know, the sheep, I don't know what he caught in his eye. Maybe it was just a butterfly floating by, and he thought, well, I'm gonna chase it for a minute. And all of a sudden he gets over the hillside and looks back and can't find his way. Who knows? Maybe it was another field of green grass. He thought, man, that's going to taste better over there. So I'm going to go try that. And before long, he looked back and, oh, what happened? He was lost. But Jesus was not satisfied to let it die, to let it be prey for the predator. But he went out in the night and he found the one. And when he had found it, he came back rejoicing. Not only did he rejoice, but he wanted everybody else to rejoice with him that the sheep was found. And then we get to the woman with 10 pieces of silver. She lost one. It was a coin. It was lost in the house, and she had to find it. You know, this is a day and age. They didn't have carpet. They probably had dirt. And so she was sweeping the dirt, and she was trying to get under. Maybe the coin had shifted down underneath the dirt floor. And so she lit a candle, and she began to search for it. And ultimately, she found it. And when she found it, she was joyful. She told everyone, hey, I found it. I found it. Rejoice with me. It's restored. I have it back. And then he talks about a certain man had 2 sons. So the sheep was distracted. The coin was just lost in the house. But the son, he was a little different. He was lost from willfulness. Willfulness. He decided that he wanted to do something different. And he thought that if he left the father's house, that he could find the joy that he was missing. He thought he could find the fun that he was missing. He thought he could find the excitement that he could not find in the father's house. But he found very quickly that his money only went so far. The joy was fleeting, and the pleasure only lasted for a season. And when all the money was gone, all the friends were gone, all the pleasure was gone. And he found himself. The Bible said he found himself He attached himself to a man that had pigs. You know, to the Jewish people, that this was an unclean beast. And so there is nothing lower than feeding the unclean beast except feeding yourself for what they wouldn't eat, with what they wouldn't eat. And so he had gone as far, he was at the bottom of the barrel. He was in the gutter of Skid Row. He was as far down. And so when he told this story, I'm sure that the people listening to him said, whoa, not only is he feeding sheep, but now he's eating after them. Feeding pigs, but now he's eating after the pigs. These unclean beasts, he is living with them, which is terrible enough, but now he is trying to fill his belly with what they wouldn't eat. And so it can't get worse than that. But Jesus said this, when he came to himself. That tells me that if you choose to leave the Father's house, if you choose willfully to remove yourself from the kingdom of God, if you choose willfully to go about and do your own thing, if you want to do it your way instead of God's way, if you want to go your direction instead of God's direction, that you have got to be out of your mind. Amen. In fact, we're in Texas, so you're out of your ever-loving mind. Amen. Bless your heart. Amen. You are out of your ever-loving mind because your worst day in the church is going to be better than your best day in the world. Oh, there's going to be moments of pleasure, but I promise you that when they're all said and done, that you will feel empty, that you will feel lost, that you will feel sick to your stomach. And I want you to know that God is the best place to be. Oh, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be in the church. I would rather be worshiping around the altar. I would rather be feeling what I feel tonight than feeling anything else in this world. And so the Bible says, when he came to himself, when he woke up, he thought, what am I doing? I am crazy. I've lost my ever-loving mind. Maybe he's from South Israel. I don't know. And so he said, even the people that work for my Father have it better than I do. And so if I just go back, and he rehearsed his speech, and he said, I'm just going to go back and I'm going to tell my Father I have sinned against you. And I just want to be a servant. Just make me like one of the hired people. I'll make the bed. I'll mow the yard. I'll bring in the harvest. Whatever you want me to do, just let me come back home. And so he rehearsed it. I'm sure he rehearsed it all the way back. You know, I feel so bad. I feel so ashamed. And now I'm going to face my Father, and I'm going to face my elder brother, and I'm just so ashamed. But when he topped that rise, that last rise, and he could see the homestead up ahead, it wasn't very long until he recognized that there was something on the road. You know, maybe he thought it was a mirage. Maybe he thought it was just a glimmer from the sun shining off of the ground. But it wasn't long until that shape began to move toward him. And it wasn't long until he recognized, hey, this is a person. And they're moving pretty quick. And then it wasn't long after that until he realized, hey, that's my dad. I've never seen him run. I've never seen him move that quick, but here he comes. Oh, I'm going to get it now. I'm going to get it. He's still angry with me. He's still hurt, and he's going to punish me. And here I am. And so the Bible says that he ran to him and he fell on his son's neck and he kissed him. And then the prodigal started rehearsing his story. He said, Father, I have sinned against you and I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. So just let me be like one of the hired servants.
And I love the father's response, because basically the father just ignored him. And so he fell on him, he kissed him, and this son started rehearsing this, and he just ignored him. Hey, somebody go get a robe. Don't just get a robe, but I want you to go get the best robe you can find. And I want you to bring it. And I want you to bring some shoes and put it on his feet. And I want you to get a ring, and I want you to put it on his hand. It was not just, the ring that he put on his finger was not for ornamentation. He was not trying to dress him up. He was not trying to give him some bling to make him blend in with the world. But the ring that he was talking about was an insignia. It was a symbol of who he was and who he belonged to. It was a symbol of the authority of the Father. And so here he is. He's repenting. I'm coming back. I'm not worthy to be called your son. I am only a servant. But his father is already saying, hey, go get the best robe. Go get the sandals. And go get the ring of authority and put it back on his hand, so that everyone that sees him says, hey, that's not a servant. That's a son. That's not someone that's lost, but that's someone that's found. I want you to know that he wanted everybody to know that that son was restored. Amen. You know, nothing is ever written in Scripture. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And I really believe that God preserved this through the ages, through the languages, through all the things that he brought to us. The Word of God is so right and so real. And so even in the little details that sometimes we overlook, there's power, there's anointing there. So, okay, let me bring out a couple more details. So he brought him the shoes, the best robe, and the ring. But then he said, hey, I want you to go kill the fatted calf. He didn't say a fatted calf. He said the fatted calf. So that tells me that the father had been preparing for just such a day. I have a feeling that they didn't have to go look far for the best robe, because the father had already instructed them, hey, when he comes back, when I find him, you know, I want you to bring this one. And when he comes back, I want you to get those shoes right there. And when he comes back, I want you to put that ring that signifies our family on his hand. And then when he comes back, you see this calf, I want you to feed it good. I want you to take good care of it. I want it to stay close to home and make sure to keep it safe, because it won't be long until I see my son coming. And when he comes, I want you to get this one. And this is the plans I want you to make. I want you to have a banquet, and I want that to be the centerpiece of the feast. And we're going to celebrate. And so he planned it out. And so when he told him, he said, I don't want you to just go get a calf. I don't want you to go get a fatted calf. I want you to go get the fatted calf. The father had prepared for this moment when he could tell his friends, his family, my son that was lost, my son that I thought might be dead, is now come home and he's alive. And so here I am today. I am sweeping the house with a message of love and mercy in this house. And I don't know where you are. Maybe you show up here every service. I don't know. But somewhere in your heart and your life, you have moved away. You have backed off from some commitment. You have backed off from your prayer life. You have backed off from your giving. You have backed off from your witnessing. You have backed off from teaching Bible studies and being involved. And you have made excuses. And you have become separated from the will and the way of God. So here he is in the house. He has lit a candle, and He has put a word in my mouth. And as he speaks through me tonight, he is sweeping the house. He's walking up and down the aisle from the back to the front, from the side to the side, and from the platform to the back door. He is searching for those that are hungry for a change. I want you to know, I want to remind you today that it doesn't matter how far you've gone. It doesn't matter how long you've been away. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't even matter if you've never been here before. I want you to know that Jesus is wanting you. You did not come here by yourself, because the Bible says that no man can come to God except he draw them. And so you may think you're here for some other reason, but oh, God brought you in the door today because God is reaching your soul. He wants you to repent. He wants you to be baptized. He wants to fill you with his spirit because he loves you. Amen. Oh, he went out of his way for one wicked woman. He told the disciples, I must needs go through Samaria. And when he got there, he sent them into the city to buy things. And he sat there on the well. And this one wicked woman came in the heat of the day, carrying her vessel to get water. And he spoke to her and he said, can you give me to drink? And we went through this whole process of, why are you speaking to me? I'm a Samaritan and you're a Jew and you should not speak to me. It's not lawful. It's not right. But Jesus said, hey, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for a drink. And I'd give you something where you would never thirst again. And before it was all over, he told her whole life. Hey, yeah, go tell your husband. No, she said, well, I don't have a husband. He said, yeah, you're right. You've had five. And you're living with somebody you're not married to now. He told her. She was shocked. She was surprised. But he was not saying that to condemn her. He was saying that to find her. And before it was all over, she ran back to the city and she told everybody that she could find, hey, come meet the man that told me all of my life, that told me all of my heart, that knows me better than I know myself. And this one wicked woman was reached because Jesus went out of his way to find. I want you to know that he transforms us. He changes us. Colossians 2:14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, the warrant for our arrest. He blotted it out, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way. How did he do that? He nailed it to his cross. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He was prophesying of the day that the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus would be made. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Psalm 136 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That wasn't good enough. He said it again. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. That wasn't good enough, so he said it again. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. For what? For his mercy endureth forever. Well, you don't mean me, Pastor. I'm too far gone. I've done too much. I've made too many mistakes. I've come in and gone out too many times. I've fallen short. But let me read you one last passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 6:9. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Wow, that's pretty condemning. But then you go to verse 11,
And it says, and such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. How are you justified by the name of Jesus, Brother Williams? It's in baptism, in the name of Jesus. How are you justified by the Spirit of God? It's the infilling of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking with other tongues, just like they did in the book of Acts, in chapter 2, in chapter 8, in chapter 10, chapter 19, all the way through. They were filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I was lost. Right back there, I was lost. I was dying. I was going to hell. If Jesus would have come back at that moment, I would have been lost. But he didn't leave me there. He swept the house. He sent an anointed messenger to preach a message. Oh, I didn't come that night to repent. I didn't come that night to be restored. I came because my parents said I had to. But oh, Jesus began to sweep the house. I saw the flicker of a flame where he lit the candle, and I felt the longing of a father's heart that couldn't sit by and watch me be lost. And so I once was lost, but now I'm found. And who here tonight could not move a little closer? He's drawing us. His Spirit is love. Remember, I said the Bible is a love story. It's a story of longing. Story of reaching. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. Could we stand? Could we stand? What a beautiful night. What a sweet presence of the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, the love of God. Oh, how rich. How pure. I thank God for his love. The Bible makes a couple of very simple statements about God. It says, first of all, God is holy. It's three words. God is holy. But that's not all he is. There's another simple statement. It says, God is love. The very essence of God is love. I'm not talking about sappy, fleeting feelings. I'm talking about a deep, abiding, sacrifice everything kind of love. I'm talking about greater than you have for your own children, because you're finite and he is infinite. I'm talking about a greater love than you have for your spouse, because you are finite and he is infinite. A deep, abiding love that will not sit still until you're found. Found. This altar's open. Could we come? Ha. Thank God. Thank God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I am not worthy within myself, but your love said I was worthy. I am not worth it in myself, but your love said, I am worth it. Who am I that thou art mindful of me? But oh, hallelujah, you thought of me. You loved me. You cared for me. You reached for me. You keep me. You restore my soul. Yes. All you have to do tonight is come in repentance. Come into repentance. Just ask the Lord to forgive you. Pray and say, I want to live for you. I don't want to live for this world. And he will receive you unto himself. And he will fill you with the power of the Holy Ghost. And you can be baptized in this house tonight before you leave. We have robes and towels. The water is ready.
and we could baptize you for the remission of your sins. Oh, hallelujah. Yes.